We welcome you to the Lord's house on this Christmas Eve as we are privileged to gather here in the Lord's house and to truly celebrate that God came into the world in the presence of the Christ child and showed us his living presence in a most unique and wondrous way. Truly, it is a joy to know our loving God in a very personal way. And we experience that the more we learn about our Lord Jesus. This we celebrate on Christmas Eve. This we celebrate as we'll be privileged to gather together in the Lord's house on Christmas Day as a Sunday, which truly is a joyous occasion this year as well. But as we begin our worship service this evening with our children, may we stand for our opening hymn. There's a song in the air. We'll sing all three stanzas, please.
There's a song in the air, there's a star in the sky, there's a mother's deep prayer and a baby's low cry, and the star rings its fire while the angel choirs sing for the manger of Bethlehem cradles a king. There's a tumult of joy o'er the wonderful birth, for the virgin's sweet boy is the Lord of the earth. See, the star rains its fire while the angel choirs sing for the manger of Bethlehem cradles a king. We rejoice in the light and we echo the song that comes down through the night from the heavenly throng. And we welcome the glorious gospel they bring, and we greet in the cradle our Savior and King.
Please be seated. Throughout the Advent season, we have seen the light of the Advent wreath increase with the lighting of each new weekly candle. Light streaming across a darkened room brings forth a sense of orientation and allows us to continue tasks once reserved only for the daylight hours. How precious is the light that shuns away the darkness. As Christ chose to live among us in human form, he not only showed us a human example of God's loving, living presence, but from a spiritual perspective, he also became the living light of salvation for all who are willing to believe in him. For Jesus said of himself in John chapter 8, verse 12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will have the light of life and will never walk in darkness." On this Christmas Eve, we rejoice in the living light of Christ's presence among us as the Scher family comes forward to first light the four weekly candles and then to also light for us the Christ candle.
We first relight the four weekly candles of the Advent wreath. This year, we have named these candles the candles of godly possibilities, godly intervention, humanity's obedience, and godly guidance. From Scripture, we have learned that with God, all things are possible.
The improbable births of the patriarchal fathers, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, became a prelude to the unlikely birth of the Messiah from the Virgin Mary. Thus, as God intervened into humanity's fallen condition through the birth of the Christ child, Jesus, who was fully God and fully human, became unblemished and final sacrificial lamb for the forgiveness of our sin.
Thank you.
This evening, we now focus our attention on the candle placed in the center of the Advent wreath, the Christ candle. This candle's larger size and central location point to the prominence of Christ in our faith. It is always white in color, for it acknowledges Christ's pure and sinless nature. As Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:21, Christ was without sin, but for our sake God made him share in our sin, in order that in union with him we might share the righteousness of God.
Thus, with humble gratitude, on this eve of Christmas Day, we light the candle of Christ in thanksgiving for Christ's willingness to depart from holiness of heaven, to become one of us and offer his life in sacrifice for our sin, so that our souls may be redeemed to eternal life in God's holy realm.
Come surely, Lord Jesus, as dawn follows night. Our hearts long to greet you as roses the light. Salvation, draw near us, our vision engage. One candle is lit for the hope of the age. Come quickly, Shalom, teach us how to prepare for a gift that compels us with justice to share. Our spirits are restless till sin and war cease. One candle is lit for the reign of God's peace. Come festively sing while awaiting the birth. Join angels in dancing from heaven to earth. Wave banners of good news, lift high thankful praise. One candle is lit for the joy of these days. Come wander where lion and lamb gently play, where evil is banished and faith takes the day. A babe in a manger to fool the world's eyes. One candle is lit for God's loving surprise. Come listen, the sounds of God with us ring clear, and signs of a cross in the distance appear. The Word once made flesh, yet the Word ever near. One candle is lit for the Christ birthday here.
Scripture reading I share with you this evening is Luke chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the end. May we pray. Merciful God, we're privileged to gather in your house on this eve of Christmas Day, and to truly celebrate your presence among us, and to acknowledge how much you have entrusted not only the Holy Family, but indeed us, with the responsibility of your word and testimony on earth. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. A father and his young son were out in the country climbing around some cliffs when the father heard his son yell from above, "Hey, Dad, catch me." And the father immediately looked up, only to realize that his son, even as he was speaking, had already jumped off the ledge above, so readily expecting his father below to catch him. Impulsively and certainly desperately, the father immediately tried to position himself to catch his falling son with his arms outstretched. The whole enterprise ended in a tangled mass of limbs and torsos as the father caught his son's fall, even as they both clumsily fell to the ground. Exasperated, while trying to gather his wits about him, the father exclaimed to the son, "Can you give me one good reason why you just did that?" And without hesitation, and even with a bit of glee in his voice, the young boy said, "Sure, because you're my dad." Now, with that kind of answer, how can we ever fault our child, right? When we think of our human predicament, we realize that on so many occasions, humanity has been like the seemingly carefree, or might we say careless, child who impulsively and without a care sails off the cliff so readily expecting our Father in heaven to catch us. Yet more amazing is the fact that despite our carefree and often careless ways, so often our Creator God has readily trusted us and so willingly entrusted to our care that which has been most precious to Him. Billions of years ago, God created the universe, and in a fraction of that immense period of time, He also created this unique world that we call Earth. Earth, it simply is derived from an old English word and simply means ground. An interesting fact, considering that the Bible also reminds us that it is from the ground, it is from the soil that we are created. Yet even from such humble beginnings, God also remarkably entrusted we feeble creatures with the care of this earth. As Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 tells us, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it." All that work over billions of years, yet God entrusted this planet to our care. Yet, rebellious we were, even so early on. We weren't willing to follow His simple guidelines. We disobeyed, we lied, and we were banished from the garden of plenty to a life of hardship. We carelessly jumped off the cliffside, clearly expecting God to catch us, and yet He did, by setting into motion a salvation plan that would require a covenant, the law, the prophets, and even a representative of Himself. Centuries later, God spoke to us through the patriarchal fathers and established a nation as representative of Himself here on earth. He established a contract and wrote it into two tablets of stone, one copy for God and one copy for humanity. But rather than take His copy into the heavenly realm for safekeeping, He gave both of them to us. They were placed in a traveling covenant box. And what did we do? In time, we lost them both, covenant box and all. Yet God didn't give up. Instead, He spoke to us through the words of His prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Hosea, Joel, Amos, and others. Yet we rejected them and still kept jumping off the cliff, fully expecting God to catch us from our wandering ways. Finally, a couple of thousand years ago, God approached us one final time in the most significant of ways, the way He had planned all along, for God surely knew the hearts and motivations of man. This time, though, God gave us a part of Himself, fully God and fully human, one who would one day be qualified to be that unblemished sacrificial lamb for the forgiveness of humanity's sins. God came into the world in the most vulnerable of ways, as a newborn child, so immediately and immensely dependent upon attentive and compassionate parents named Mary and Joseph. Honorable, obedient, patient, and steadfast were they both. Responsive and unquestionably loyal to God's instructions given by the angel Gabriel to Mary and in a vision of an angel in a dream to Joseph. And this time, a wondrous couple from the tribe of David of Bethlehem living in the inconsequential Galilean village of Nazareth didn't flinch, and they certainly didn't impulsively jump off some cliff. Instead, they remained faithful from start to finish. And even as Christ our Lord was also so immensely faithful and obedient to his calling, God's salvation plan was carried to its full completion. The Christ child grew up to adulthood, cared for his family through the passing of his earthly father, Joseph, and then embarked upon a 3-year mission to change the world and to become that final atonement for all who would believe in him, to be the Christ, the Savior, the Son of the living God. And on this eve of Christmas Day, may you and I be the ones who genuinely appreciate the great measures of trust that were necessary through the entire journey, and may we especially appreciate the fact that our loving God never gave up on trying to trust humanity, even though we so often failed in the past and even continue to fail at times today. And as we imagine the Christ child resting in the manger, or in the loving arms and watchful care of Mary and Joseph, may we always, always give thanks for two fragile yet faithful human beings we call the Holy Family, who could be relied upon to carry out God's instructions to the fullest. And even as Mary and Joseph, and indeed our Lord Jesus Christ, trusted and fully followed God's plan for our lives, may we too be inspired to follow after God's godly ways. For in doing so, not only will we find peace, but we can be instruments for his glory in the here and now. As Isaiah chapter 26 reminds us, God keeps one perfect peace, whose mind is stayed in God because they trust God. Thus may we trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is our everlasting rock. Thanks be to God.
Virgin Mother kind, it came a floweret bright amid the cold of winter. When half spent was the night,
thank you, Alan. Thank you. William Dix was 29 years of age when he suffered from an illness that nearly took his life and sent him into a severe depression. Yet while working through his recovery, he experienced a spiritual awakening that inspired him to become an avid reader of the scriptures and also prompted him to write hymns of faith. The hymn that he wrote that we sing for this evening as our communion hymn strikes a chord of wonder and amazement as we contemplate God's presence among us in the miracle of the Christ child. As the first stanza asks, what child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping? And may we wonder what inspired God to come so humbly among us. And as this wonderment prompts a human response from us, the refrain also proclaims as a victorious chorus from the heavenly realm, This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste, to bring him laud, the babe, the son of Mary. As we remain seated, our communion hymn, number 162, what child is this, as we sing all three stanzas.
What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the son of Mary. Why lies he in such state, where ox and ass are feeding? Good Christian, fear for sinners here, the silent word is pleading. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold and myrrh, come rich and poor to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings, let loving hearts enthrone him. This, is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Lana leads us in a word of prayer.
Dearly Father, we come tonight on this beautiful winter night with humble hearts and thank you for the greatest gift ever given, the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lived and died and suffered for us, who loves us unconditionally, and only wants us to pay attention and only wants us to come to know him better. We thank you for this day, for this church, for this community, and these people here this evening. And Merry Christmas. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. All of the resources received for this evening's offering goes to the emergency fund to be of assistance to any number of people in need throughout the Northland here. And so your gifts are indeed appreciated as Mary leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear Lord, as we gather on this Christmas Eve for celebration of your life to come, we want to bless the gifts and the givers for the offerings that we gather this evening. Please be with us as we are with our family and friends, and remember the reason for this season. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Lord God, we indeed give thanks for the gifts given, that they indeed may be used for your glorious purposes now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. Just want to lift up to you that there's going to be kind of a musical interlude here as preparations are going to be underway for the children's program. But while that is also taking place, may I take a moment to remind you that tomorrow for Christmas Day, we're going to be having one worship service at 10 o'clock and no Sunday school services tomorrow. One worship service at 10. We certainly want to invite you. And also, it is going to be our privilege tomorrow morning at the beginning of the service to have a celebration of baptism for George Scherer as he came forward last Sunday and expressed his confession of faith. And George will be baptized by his grandfather and our former pastor of Berry Christian Church, Bob George. And so we celebrate that tomorrow morning. Praise God.
We're going to take just a moment. If my youth will come up and help prepare the stage, and my littles, you can wait for just a minute, okay? Just my youth, so we can get our stage going. Bear with us, please.